In the New York Times obituary for Ingmar Bergman, filmmaker Bertrand Tavernier said that the best of Bergman is the way he speaks of women, of the relationship between men and women. He's like a miner digging in search of purity. Liv Ullmann might see the situation as a bit more complicated than that. She was called one of the director's muses, and in addition to starring in 10 of his films, she and Bergman also shared a five-decade-long relationship as friends and more than occasionally as lovers. That relationship is the subject of a new documentary called Liv and Ingmar, Painfully Connected, that premieres tonight at the New York Film Festival. It'll be screened at 6:15 at the Walter Reed Theater, and then again on October 9th at 8:45 in the Francesca Beale Theater. I'm very pleased that it brings the film's director, Dheeraj Akholkar, and its subject, Liv Ullmann, to our show today.
Thank you.
And welcome back, Liv. Bergman called you his Stradivarius, which obviously says something about your abilities as an actor, but an instrument is also only as good as the person who plays it. Do you find it frustrating that despite all of your accomplishments, you have been so linked to Bergman?
No, I don't at all. And, you know, to be linked with him because he felt that he played the best with me, what an honor and what a delight it has been for me in the 45 years we have known each other.
Well, you also acted quite well for other directors. You've written a very popular memoir, and you've directed on your own for film and theater.
And two of those films I also directed on his script.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that you would have done all those things if you hadn't had that experience with Bergman?
Oh, absolutely, because I had been an actor 7 years before I met him, and when I first came to United States, to Hollywood, was nominated for an Oscar, I came because I acted in another director's film, Jan Troell. So I think my life would have looked very differently because I was so much part of a wonderful creator's work. But I think I would have been moving around, yes, without Ingmar.
Well, he had a little group of actors who were with him film after film after film. They did wonderful things elsewhere. I remember B.B. Anderson once came on our show, and she talked about her first time in Hollywood. She was flown to a set of a Western that she was appearing in, and all of the actors were squabbling over the size of their trailers. And she said, "What's the big fuss? Ingmar would have told us to sit in the sun and be quiet."
And she's right about that, except he would not say sit in the sun, because you had to be pale to be in his movies, because he didn't want makeup, but he wanted the skin to be alive.
Dheeraj, before you made this film, you directed a few shorts, done production work for some major films from the United States and India. But that doesn't seem like something that would lead to making a film about the relationship between a Swedish director and his Norwegian star. So how did you get involved in this project?
Well, really, it just came to me after Ingmar Bergman had passed away. The idea just appeared. But I really think what really, really mattered to me in this story, which started from Liv's book Changing, is that it is a very human story. It is a story about two friends. It's a story about a man and a woman and a story of two children. And on that level, I've tried to make a human film.
So you base this on her memoir, Changing?
Well, I was inspired very much by that book.
Sometimes Liv actually reads from the text.
Yes, I think it's a fascinating book. It's one of the best books I have read because it's not written by a Hollywood superstar. It's written by someone who's very deeply in connection with her own emotions. It's a very personal, beautiful book.
Well, India's produced some pretty great directors, including Satyajit Ray. But how did you connect to a Swedish director? When were you first exposed to his films?
Well, I got introduced to Ingmar Bergman through Liv, through her book, Changing. Yes. Until 2006, of course, I had heard of Ingmar Bergman, but I had never seen anything. And then in 2006, I was in London to study. And I had already read Changing, and wow, then I just started. I couldn't stop.
And how did you wind up reading the book in the first place?
Well, I really, what attracted me, one of the most beautiful things that attracted me was an incident that Liv writes when Ingmar tells her about his mother passing away, and he cries and is very vulnerable. And Liv writes that in that moment I realized that I knew that I could never leave him, and in a way I never have. that sums it up in a way for me. That's the film as well. She doesn't say, I thought, you know, she doesn't say, I felt. She says, I knew I could never leave him.
You've said that the layers of emotion and complexities in their relationship touches a personal chord within you. But this is often something that's a lot more difficult in a documentary than it is in a story film.
Yeah, that's why I would like to invite everybody to come and see the film. Because I think our film is for anybody who is loved.
Now, Liv, where and when did you meet Ingmar?
I met Ingmar actually on the street in Sweden, and he knew about me because I'd been an actress for several years, and he said, I'd like to have you in a movie. And within less than a year, he had written Persona for Bibi Andersson and me. And I also have to say that this film, which shows so many of the movies that Ingmar made, and there is no other person being interviewed about the relationship Liv and Ingmar, I was surprised actually to see it, because it showed Persona and all the other movies we went and did together like it was our life.
They are definitely taken from your life. But he didn't write things down after you had a fight?
No. You see, what struck me is, yes, it was about our life, but it was about anyone's life. Because that's why Ingmar Bergman was so brilliant. He wrote about people and sometimes maybe dark sides of the people or violent side of the people or very loving side. But it wasn't about us. It was about how he looked at human beings. That's why I thought, is it only about me, these movies? No, they're not. They are about people.
Was there a problem, language problem? You were making Swedish films. You're a Norwegian. Most people just assume that's the same thing, but they're very different languages. Did you have a discernible accent?
Yes, I do. In Sweden, they thought I spoke Norwegian. In Norway, they said, oh, look at her. She's trying to speak Swedish. But, you know, that doesn't really matter, because most of my life I have been working with people who had another language than mine. For example, now working with this director. Although our work, in a way, also was so short. We did only 2 days of interviews, and the rest he took from audios of me reading from Changing. So this is his creation. And I thought, if I don't like this movie, I will never be talk about it. And so when I saw the movie, I was really struck and felt he was closer to the truth than I could have done myself.
Were you worried, Dirash, that she might say, oh, boy, you have totally gotten it wrong?
No, I wasn't worried. I was absolutely sure of what I was going to do right from the first letter I have written to her.
Because you also, in reading the memoir and then seeing the films, you saw these parallels.
Absolutely, yes. And I wanted to tell a story of love, because I think it hasn't been told. People are at times cynical and judgmental, and when there are more famous people, many people want to take this position that, oh, they want to point fingers and say, but, you know, whatever. They don't know. Nobody knows what happens between a man and a woman in a relationship. And, you know, I will tell you a very nice incident that occurred. We were filming the letters of Ingmar Bergman in Stockholm. And I cannot read Swedish, but my producer can. And he was going through these letters, and suddenly he stopped and said, looked at me and said, wow, there is so much love in here. So, you know, that never gets spoken about. And that's why I wanted to do the film.
Now, I always assumed that his film, Scenes from a Marriage, which was actually, what, a television series, wasn't it?
It started like that, but it became a movie afterwards.
I assumed that it was largely based on your relationship.
Of all the movies he made, and they were about human relationships, Scenes from a Marriage came closer to home, because he was using a lot of my private pictures from my childhood. He had a diary, which I didn't really know he had kept, which I wrote some years ago, which he used in the movie. And so, but to me, that was okay to me, because I know, like you said in the beginning, Ingmar really loved and respected women. And if he thought my diary of some years ago would be right for this woman in Scenes from a Marriage, please take it.
But it could also be very cruel. And we learn that in your memoir, in the film, and in Scenes from a Marriage. So, and you put up with it, and you weren't married. You were lovers for a number of years, and he actually married another woman while you were involved, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He married another woman after me. We lived together 5 years. He built a house where he told me for the first time that we are painfully connected. He continued to live in that house after he married. And in that house, he kept in his office, he, for example, kept the door on which we had written our diary during those 5 years. What we had together, it was a love story. It went over to a warm, wonderful friendship. And I didn't really know before, long after, that love, that translates into so many languages, so that knowing that Ingmar had, for example, this door, which you actually can see in the movie, each year, because the sun was shining on the door where we each day wrote hearts and crosses and eyes with tears on, he told me that each year he would go and he would make sure that the sun didn't shine it away. And yes, he
make
married...
Make it fade.
Make it fade. And yes, he loved his new wife, but that doesn't mean that he loved me any less.
Well, would you have married him if he'd asked?
How do you know he didn't ask?
Well, you both were married when you met.
We were married when we were met, and what we had together through 45 years, to me, that is a beautiful, beautiful love story, because it says that the bond between two people, whether they are man and woman or man and man, woman and woman, a bond that keeps you together for so long, it encompasses more than the sudden passion.
And then his last film also was with you and Erland Josephson, who was his kind of alter ego in Scenes from a Marriage and a couple of other films. Did that reflect your coming back together?
No, it didn't reflect that together. You know why? Because we were never apart.
He was married to his fourth wife when he says he fell in love with you. And she wrote music for and acted in a few of his films, which you also starred in.
No, she never acted in any film, because
she
was a pianist, and she did she didn't do the music. She played the piano in Autumn Sonata, which Ingrid Bergman played.
Mm-hmm. She didn't do any of the music in Fanny and Alexander.
No.
You and Ingmar represent a kind of a power couple in the cinematic world. Why do you think the media found your story so interesting? After all, he doesn't, he's not your typical celebrity director.
But I don't...
Was he different in Sweden than he was here? I mean, I would have loved to have had him as a guest on this show, but I'm not sure. He did come here, I think, to direct an opera, but it was almost impossible to get anybody to interview him.
No, he never came to direct an opera. As a matter of fact, he came to New York once for 1.5 days. He came when I did The Doll's House, played Nora. The man who was so scared of flying, he took his then wife, the one who came after me, and they went and they saw The Doll's House, and then he went back again. That's what he liked to do. I was some kind of this younger self of him doing all these things, and he loved to be a part of it. You would have liked him very much to sit and talk with him, but the way he liked to lead and live his life was to be private.
And he lived on an island separated from...
He lived on the island where we were when we did Persona and where he built our house. And that was, his richness. And I do think that the director, creator of this film, has found out why he wanted to live there, either alone, which he did for 10 years when his wife died, or with a woman.
So, Dirash, why?
Well, I really think that that place itself has tremendous energy. That island is magical in so many ways. It's not spectacular, but it is this. There's something about it which is amazing. But I really also think that the artist in him wanted to be in his own world. When you are creating worlds, you need to first find your own. You can't be distracted and, you know, overspent in doing so many other things that today celebrity directors do. I mean, I don't know, good for them. But when you're Ingmar Bergman and when you're creating these deepest chasms and these very subtle emotional worlds, you need to first come in connection with yours.
As a director, I'm sure you were really impressed by the look of his films. The cinematography is always incredible, and although he wasn't behind the camera, the director does determine the look of a film.
Absolutely.
Did he do something special in his lighting, Liv?
What he did was he always made a choice to work with the very best. You will find not so good directors or whatever. They choose people who are not so good so that they can really be the boss. Ingmar did the opposite. He chose just what for him was the creme de la creme, and he allowed them to create, like his cinematographer Sven Nykvist, he allowed him to create, but he also knew that Sven Nykvist knew him so well that Sven Nykvist would create in the spirit of Ingmar.
Although Sven Nykvist made films on his own, they were never on that level. They didn't even have that magical look that he gave to Bergman films. Nykvist also was a cinematographer for Woody Allen. They're beautifully shot, but it's not, there's not the same kind of magical quality.
Well, I don't think that I would say that.
You don't
that.
Agree? Okay.
No, but Woody and Ingmar made such different movies, although they both really admired each other, and Woody really, really admired Ingmar. Maybe Woody sometimes thought, oh, give me what you gave to Ingmar, instead of thinking, give me, Woody, what is for Woody. I don't know.
A listener left this comment on our show page. One of the memorable theater experiences of my life was seeing the production of A Streetcar Named Desire with Cate Blanchett at BAM that you directed. How did you come to that interpretation of the play, which was much more sympathetic to Blanche than is usually the case?
Because I understand her from the bottom of my soul, and because I worked with an incredible, incredible actress, and we saw each other, we recognized each other, and she trusted me, and I trusted her. And I did the same with Streetcar Named Desire, which I had learned from Ingmar. I choose the best, and if I allow them the freedom to create everything that they are capable of, the result of my work will be really good. And I just loved working with Streetcar Named Desire.
That was an Australian company.
It was an Australian company, and we did it there, and then we went to Washington, and then we came to New York. And it was one of the great adventures in my life. It changed my life, and Cate wrote me too. It changed her life.
In what way?
Because we trusted each other, and we knew we could make that extra step. And when you do that extra step, people will really be hit by the truth of who you are.
Do you think it's different if you are an actor who has performed on a very high level directing other actors?
I don't know. I was surprised that Cate would ask for me because, yes, I have directed movies and theater, but why did she ask me to do this? And I think it's something that she recognized that I understand now, but you really want me? And I think it is like I admire Ingmar so much. And I'm not comparing Ingmar and me, but I admire people like him, creators like him, that when I do something, I want them in one way or another to see it and understand it, because I want to hear what they say. And the one thing that I'm so sad for is that Ingmar never saw Streetcar Named Desire, because Ingmar believed so much in me, and I know he would have enjoyed it. And the same with this movie, Liv and Ingmar. I know, and people do ask me, well, you know, this was made without him. No, it wasn't made without him, because he is there in his movies. He is there in the letters he wrote. He is there the way you saw him this incredible young Indian director, he's there in a way that he would have seen the movie Ingmar and he would have said, oh yes, I like this. I want to meet him now.
My guests are Liv Ullmann and that young Indian director, Dhiraj Akholkar. The film we're talking about is Liv and Ingmar, Painfully Connected, which is screening tonight and then again on October 9th at the New York Film Festival. As we mentioned earlier, Dhiraj, Liv is the only person interviewed in the film. Usually in a documentary of this sort, others are brought in and they're asked for their opinion, their outside opinion. You obviously made the decision not to do that.
Yes, absolutely so, because, you know, I have to be very honest. When I started, I wanted six different characters apart from Liv. But Ingmar Bergman is no more and Sven Nykvist is no more. Mr. Erland Josephson and Miss Bibi Anderson were really unwell, and then Mr. Josephson passed away, and Lynn Ullmann and Max von Sydow were both very busy doing their work. And this happened in the first week of research, and it came to Liv, and my producer said to me, what do you want to do? I said, this is it. You know why? Today I feel that's the right decision, because I believe, again, once again I will say this, what happens between a man and a woman in a relationship, or any man and a man, woman and a woman, only they know. Nobody else has a right to validate. Nobody else has a right to comment or justify. And that's why I am very happy.
But you also, this is very much a film about not just the relationship of a man and a woman, but also the relationship between life and art.
Yes.
And that is, I guess, what makes this film so fascinating, knowing what these films, many of us have seen all of these films, and knowing about Liv from reading her memoir, and then suddenly seeing the connections between the two and how things in life can be transformed into great art.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether that happened in the earlier films, where like The Seventh Seal, where death is a character. But later, the films get very, very realistic.
They do. But, you know, somebody who has seen this Dhiraj film, he's a big film knower, he said, I think it is the first time that a documentary has been made by one person being interviewed and then putting it all together with a film of the other one. That has never been made. And it's terrifically interesting, and I think it can only be done if the filmmaker himself or herself was somebody who only talked about people and relationships. But you have done it, and what if you are the first one to make a documentary that way?
Oh, I'm very happy. But then this film, you know, like film itself tells you, if you're listening, the film tells you what it wants.
But you said that you came late to Bergman's film, so you had to really immerse yourself in all of the films, including some that were totally irrelevant to the story you were telling, but also were wonderful films.
Yes, but you know, that is his magic. That once you get in to Ingmar Bergman, you have no escape route.
Now, a listener writes in to ask about the genesis of your film, Sophie, which he likes very, very much.
It's my favorite film. I directed it and I made the film script of it. And I care so much about it because what is in that film, it is what I believe of in life, that we come to the world with sealed orders. And the way to live is somehow to find out each day, could today be the time? And in this movie, Sophia, who is the main character, she never gets the star and the hero or anything. But in the end of the film, and sadness and tragedy has struck her life, she's just turning towards the camera and then she starts smiling because, yes, it was good and it was blessed to live. And I'm very proud of that, and I don't dare to see it again because it was my first movie, and maybe it looks like a first movie, but to me it had everything I believe in.
Your daughter also plays a role in this film. What's she doing these days?
My daughter is everything her father really wanted to be, a writer. And she just finished her fifth book, and four of them have been translated into English, Knopf. Mm-hmm. And she's a great writer, and she says she writes fiction writing, but you can recognize stuff there. But when you recognize, she lies a lot too, so she's a real fiction writer.
And you, are you focusing mostly now on being a director?
Yes, because it has happened that way. I will now direct Uncle Vanya at the National Theatre in Norway. And then I have made an adaptation of Miss Julie by August Strindberg, which I will do a movie of next year. And then maybe that will be the last, but it will be the best of my life. I've been offered to do The Doll's House, to direct here on Broadway. And that will encompass everything I care about. Ibsen, Nora, everything she stood for, I will translate it myself. And I know everything that I knew and everything I am, and also what I learned from Ingmar will be part of that.
You're going to do the translation, you say.
Oh,
do you
absolutely
think that other translators have missed something?
No.
Does Ibsen have a special approach to language?
No, but I'm Norwegian, and I'm an actress, and I know this world, and I played Nora so many times. And, for example, when Nora, all the time she's saying, and in the English translation, she's saying, oh, I'm waiting for a miracle to happen. I'm waiting for the miracle to happen. You know what Ibsen writes? He says, oh, I'm waiting for the wonderful to happen.
Hmm.
And in Norway, only children say that. And that's why I'm translating it myself.
Liv and Dheeraj will be introducing this film, Liv and Ingmar, and answering questions after the screening tonight at 6:15 at the Walter Reed Theater on West 65th Street. The film is being screened tonight, and then again on October 9th at another theater, the Francesca Beale Theater. And my great thanks to both of you for being on our show today.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you.